Okay, so welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now on throughout Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, right at the top of the Amud. We've got a long piece to do today, and it basically has to do with confirmation of someone's status as a Kohen, although we're going to complete the piece about Gomlim, about reciprocal testimony. And that's the very top, the top line. Ve'hecha yitmar Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva, sorry. Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva was the one who said that when somebody comes in with his wares, then we know that he's selling, and that changed the status of things. Where is it that he said that we pulled it out from, in order to clarify why Rabbanan said we don't accept reciprocal testimony about the salesman? How did not? It's based on this Mishnah. A potter who leaves his pots that he's selling and he goes down to get a drink and he wasn't watching them. He himself, as Rashi points out, is a chaber, so he's careful about tuma v'tahara, but he didn't watch them. Hapniyot tahorot, the ones that are inside the circle are tahor, v'chitzinot, the ones that are on the outside of his bunch that he left, are tmeot. Now, we're going to get to Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva after dealing with three versions of this. Version one is that we saw we distinguished between the inner ones and the outer ones. We have a bright that says they're all tameh. When are they all tameh? When he has things with him, like scales or whatever it is, that indicate that he's going to sell. Everybody sees that he's selling, so that everybody goes and touches all of them, and therefore, since everybody's touching, they're all tameh. Hi, Vatanya Elu Ve'elu Torah. This really is not our issue, but just to clean up the text, they're not the text, the ruling. We have a third brayta that says they're all tahor. When he doesn't have any indication that he's going to be selling, because he just carries his pots. So Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva said if he doesn't have his wares with him, his sale tools, as it were, with him, then they're all tahor, and if he does, they're all tameh. So when would the Mishnah be saying that the inner ones are tahor and the outer ones are tameh? When would we distinguish? So the smicha l'rishut harabim, if the area where he goes down to drink is right next to the rishut harabim, shum chifuf rishut harabim, because of people who are in the rishut harabim and they take a step on the side, so they'll touch the outer ones, but not because they want to sell by them, they just happen to be there. But they won't touch the ones that are inside because they're really not checking them through to see how good they are. Now, this is all, and I apologize, we really should have taken it a little bit further in the previous podcast, this is all an attempt to solve the problem between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan as to why Rabbi Yehuda says that we do not feed a Kohen, somebody who claims to be a Kohen, Truma, based on the testimony of one person saying he's a Kohen, and Rabbanan say we do. So part of the issue is the issue of Gomlin. Another solution is the real machloket is whether or not you can use the fact that somebody was eating truma as definitive proof that he's a Kohen for purposes of yuchsin. Rabbi Yehuda will say that you can, and therefore we cannot feed him truma based on less than full testimony because truma itself is proof that he can get married as a Kohen. Rabbanan say truma is not sufficient proof, therefore we're not concerned if we feed him truma based on eid echad. Because we won't have him marry as a Kohen from there. So now we have a series of questions of which other things may or may not be sufficient proof to let him be considered a full Kohen. So the first question is, can we use a shtar, his name on a document, for Yossi? Well, let's see what this means. If he himself signs his name as an aid and signs as a Kohen, that clearly is not going to be any proof. Man kamasi di lave, who's testifying about him? So lo tzricha dichtiv be'ani ploni kohen leviti manei ploni. If he writes his name on the star, or he doesn't write his name, but his name is on the star, and as a kohen, dichtimu sahadi, and witness is signed. My, what? How do you define it? Amonish v'shtar kamasadi. Are they testifying basically about the deal, about the amount of money? And they're not concerned with the guy's identity. Are they testifying about everything, including his identity, every word in the shtar, and so that would be the issue. So the two great Amoraim of the second generation of Bavel, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, disputed. We don't know which position. One said it is good, the other said it's not good. So now the next question, Yibayalu, and this will drive us through most of the rest of this morning's discussion. Can you use Duchen, what we call Duchen? If somebody goes up as a Kohen to do Bechad Kohanim, that's in Siyut Kapayim, is that good enough? And this question can be asked both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda who said that Truma is good enough proof, and Rabbanan said it's not good enough proof. Let's start with Rabbi Yehuda. Sure, because Truma carries with it the great heavenly sin, and therefore a person will be very careful not to do it unless he really is a Kohen, and therefore that's good enough proof. But Nesir Kapayim Sachakol, if a Yisrael goes up to the Berachah Kohanim, he violates an asay of Bnei Aaron, and not those who are not Bnei Aaron. Aaron of Anav. Low. So therefore, even the one who says the true is good enough proof, Nesir Kapayim may not be good enough proof. Odilma lo shah, maybe it's the same. It's Yibayim Amanda Ma'engmalin. You could ask him for the Rabbanan. Han, Emili Truma Dimitach Huditzina. So maybe Truma is not even good enough proof because you eat it privately. In other words, a person will not mind, perhaps, behaving like a Kohen privately, where nobody could really challenge him. I've on the sea of Kapayim Farasir, he gets in front of the whole shul. He loved Kohen, who coolly had a machzi finish nafshe. If he weren't really a Kohen, he wouldn't be so chatsuf, so chutzpidik, to get up publicly and act like a Kohen, and therefore, perhaps, the sea of Kapayim is good proof. Or Dumaloshna, perhaps, they would say, in any case, not a proof. So what's the rule? Rabbi Avina, Charamar Malin, Charamar Ein Malin. Again, we don't know who said what. One said it. You can use it. One said you can't use it. Now let's see. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked Rava. Malo Lo Mesir Kapayim Liyosid. So what's the halacha? Amar Lo Prukto Rav Chista Rav Avina. It's a machloka. We just saw it. So he said Hilcha Tamai. So what's the halacha? What's the ruling? Amar Lo Anamat Nita Yadana. He says I don't know. I know a Braita. As you're saying, I know there's a machloka, but I know a Braita. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer. So this goes back now to Rabbi Yossi, who makes the following comment about three psukim, a whole development in the book of Ezra. Now, a couple of historic points here. The book of Ezra covers the history that goes well before Ezra. It begins with Koresh's great call in the year 539, that anyone who wants to make Aliyah will be supported. And it goes through several generations of the various Aliyot until it focuses on Ezra's time himself. In the second chapter of Ezra, it's a very long chapter, about 60-plus psukim, that lists all the different towns and the people who came up to Eretz Yisrael. Towards the end of the parak, it points out that there were some Kohanim who could not prove that they were Kohanim. They didn't have a Sefer Yichus. They were obviously behaving like Kohanim in Babel. And when they came up to Eretz Yisrael, they were distanced to some extent from the Kohuna. And it reads as follows. Bnei Kohanim, Bnei Chavaya, Bnei Akutz, so they were asked to show a family tree belonging to, and they couldn't find it. You go alum nakuna. They were distanced from the kuna. They cannot eat kodesh kadoshim, which we assume means kodshim from the mikdash. Until a Kohen comes with a Urim and Tumim and can clarify what their status is. Now, that's the pasuk. What does Rabbi Yossi say about that? He interprets it as a conversation between Hadashata, because Ezra is not really in the play yet, and his Kohanim. And he said to them, Amar lahem harei atem lechezkatechem, you get to keep what you've had till now. They were Bavel, so there were no korbanot there. You get to do what you've done till now. And that's where Rabbi Yossi comments, you see how strong Chazakah is. You get to maintain your previous position. Now, what does that mean? What did you used to do in the Golah? You used to eat Kodesh HaGvul. Kodesh HaGvul is Truma. Right? So, I've come to Kodesh HaGvul. So, here also in Eretz Yisrael, we'll let you eat Truma, but not Kodesh. Yeah. But if you think that doing Bechad Kohanim is good enough to let them be full Kohanim. So these guys in Chutzlarts had been doing Bechad Kohanim. And he came on the Parsi Adai, since they were doing Mesir Kapayim, Atu Asukinu. So it doesn't help to say you can't eat kodshim. After all, if they're doing Birchat Kohanim and we allow them to continue because of the chazaka, then they're also going to be able to marry as that way and be raised to be full Kohanim and eventually get another Beit HaMikdash anyways. So Shani HaChadereya Chazkayu. Now, here it's different because the fact that they're being singled out, that they are the few, the select Kohanim, that are not allowed to eat Korbanot, everybody will know that there's something wrong with them and they won't treat them as full Kohanim. And it has to be the case, the Lotei Mahachi, Amanda Ramalim and Truma Liyosin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Truma is a good enough proof. After all, these guys are eating Truma, and according to Rabbi Yossi, they're allowed to continue eating Truma. Kevin to Achli with Truma, Ativa Sukim, since they're eating Truma, they'll also raise them up. So the only way to answer is, Allah, Mishum de Rechazkai, it must be that because they've lost their Chazaka, therefore, we're not concerned about that. Alright? So, that remind you of a chazaka. So that's the case. I mean, what's the big chazaka that they have? And the answer is, what did their chazaka get? And the Mikara offered the Truma de Rabbanan, and originally the Truma de Rabbanan, which they were fed in that house. Pashto offered the Truma de Rabbanan, and now they're going to Israel, they can keep Truma de Rabbanan. So chazaka helps it. The Bari Imam, if they're adding the Truma de Rabbanan, maybe the chazaka is just that they get to continue in the Truma de Rabbanan. Truma de Rabbanan will offer. What kind of truma is it that we allow as a proof, even if on a Yehuda, to let them then be married as a Kohen? That's only for you, truma d'alaytim. And if it's only for truma d'alaytim, truma kuchars, truma d'yerach, whatever it is, that we'll say, he's not necessarily a Kohen. He likely is, but it's not good enough. If he's truma d'alaytim, let's say, grains in Eretz Yisrael, then we will. Truma d'alaytim, I'm a skinner. So, if that's the case, that they just get to keep eating Truma Durabana, so what's the big deal? Because the point is, in Babel, we didn't care. But now that you're in Israel, maybe we shouldn't let you eat any Truma, because you might come eat Truma Doraita, and from there go to Yossi. Nonetheless, Logazrinam, the Chazak allows them to maintain where they were. Now, will be Truma Doraita Lalacha, they didn't get to eat Truma Doraita. Now, the second possibility that you raised, they did not get to eat Truma Doraita. And therefore, there was no problem of yuchsin. Since when not? What did Tirshat Atushata say to them? Shelo yochlu mikodesh hakodashim. They weren't allowed to eat kodesh kodoshim. The implication is they can't eat korbanot, but they can eat everything else. Mikodesh hakodashim will go lo'achil. Habitshum adorai to'achil. No, hachi kamar. No, what he said to them was lo b'midi de'ikri kodesh. When he said you can't eat kodesh kodoshim, truth is that's a strange comment, because generally kodesh kodoshim, kodshim, are not eaten, the parts of the chatat. But what he meant by that is you can't eat anything that's called kodesh or kadoshim. Not kodesh, dechtiv, v'chozar lo yochal kodesh. And what's that talking about? They're talking about truma. Of meaning the ikri kodeshim, or anything that's called kodeshim, dechtiv, v'akon kitiyot l'yizar hibitruat ha-kodeshim lo tochel. And if you remember from Yevamot in the eighth parak, what was the drush on that? Amar b'ruma mura min ha-kodeshim lo tochel. That's talking about the truma taken from korbanot, meaning the chazav ashok that's taken from shlomim that's given to the kohanim. So in other words, truma is called kodesh, and the matanot to the kahuna taken from korban shlomim was also called kodeshim. That they're not allowed to eat. So in other words, we could interpret the pasuk, they were also distanced from truma d'oraita. Good, so let's see if we can get any more clarity on this. Toshma chazaka le kahuna, so now we have a first of a series of bright, really, this is second series of brightot that will hopefully clarify. Chazaka lakuna, what substantiates somebody's claim to be a Kohen? The Siv Kavayim B'Bavel. In Bavel, it's if they do Birchat Kohanim. Rachilat Chalav Asuria. In Surya, after, for a moment, I clarify something about Surya. The Sugya we'll get to much more in depth in Gittin. But Surya, the area which is northern part of Syria, is an area that the Rabbanim consider to be quasi-Eretz Israel. And that has to do something with David's conquest of it in Perek Chet and of Shmuel Bet, that it was done, shall we say, what's called Kibush Yachid. It was done, mainstream understanding of it is it was done before David conquered all of the obligatory lands. And therefore, it's quasi-Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, challah there is not a full chiyuv. Chiluk matonot b'krachim. And if they're given matnot kahuna in the cities in Eretz Yisrael. So now, what's the main point of this bright that we care about? Tanimiha, nesir kapayim. It says nesir kapayim is good. So that means it's good for what? Meaning, what will the nesir kapayim let the guy move up to? So my love, v'yuchsin, isn't it that it will let him now be a full kohen and marry as a kohen? Well, the truma. It just means that he can then eat truma. Wait a second. The system was the nesir kapayim in Babel. And challah in Syria. You compare it to challah. Just like eating challah moves you up to yuchsin, we think. So birchat kohanim also has to be the same thing. So the answer is no. Achilat challah good for the truma. Challah itself is not as strong as truma, and therefore, if you eat challah, it will move you up to eating truma. But that's it. And why is that? Well, we have like the following. Four options, really, that if our sugya you're going to play into two. Challah. What's the status of challah bizman hazeh? It may be doraita, may be rabbanan. What's the status of truma bizman hazeh? It may be doraita, may be rabbanan. So watch this. The Tana here holds challah bizman hazeh drabanan, truma doraita. Challah is drabanan, and therefore eating challah is not a significant enough proof. It'll move you up to truma. Truma is doraita. Maskinim challah rabbanan, the truma doraita. Based on as Rav Huna Rav Yeshua inverted the words of the Rabbanan, as we will see in a couple of moments. Good. So now we have the third brayta. In other words, we have just seen a possible proof that Nesir Kapayim is good for Yochsin, and we have just rejected it. Toshma. Third brayta. Chazaka l'kuhuna, Nesir Kapayim chiluk ranam up Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, doing Nesir Kapayim or getting Truma is Chazaka, and in Syria or anywhere that the shluchim of the Beit Din we studied about Masachim Roshana get to announce when Rosh Chodesh was the Siyud Kapayim Raya, only the Siyud Kapayim of Alochil Kona. Truma is not a proof. Because Truma there is the Rabbanim. The Bavel Kasuria. Parenthetically, Bavel is treated like Syria for this. He said it used to be that Alexandria was also like Bavel. Because the Beit Din is in session there all the time, and therefore they're careful about who it is who does Berchat Kohanim, and then therefore it's a proof. Now, Tani Mihat Nesir Kapayim, again, we mentioned Nesir Kapayim. So my lovely Yuchsin, isn't that for purposes of moving him up to Yuchsin, full Kohen? So Lo Machala just means it can move up to Chala. So Hadumi Nechilu Granot Tani, but you compared it to Truma. So machilu granot liyosin, just like truma, must be to move up to yosin, because we assume truma is the top of the ladder below yosin. Af nesir kapayim liyosin. So nesir kapayim is juxtaposed; it should also be for yosin. So machilu granot gufa lachala. Truma itself is only for purposes of chala. Why? Because we have the opposite perspective. Kesara truma bizman hazeh derabanan lachala daraita. And now let's get the perspective on both of these. And we go from truma, which is rabbanon, up to challah d'oraita. The previous brayta had the opposite. The way we solved it was that challah was rabbanon, and all the challah accomplishes is it allows you to eat truma, but not yuchsin. Now we say truma is rabbanon, all it'll move you up is to challah. And now let's see what the two perspectives are. Chadash kachinu ravuna b'edi Rav Yeshua l'rabbanon. Ravuna Rav Yeshua saw the students. And the following happened. The Amar Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, Ashkelatini Rabbanan B'vei Rav, I found the students in Rav Yeshiva, the Yatvi V'Kamri, they were saying the following. Afilaman Damar Truma Mizman Hazeh Drabanan, even somebody who says the Truma in our day is Drabanan, Chala D'Oraita. Why? Sharei Shai, Sheva Shekiv Shuv, Sheva Shechoku, the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael under Yeshua, 7 years of fighting, and 7 years of dividing up the land. They weren't obligated to separate truma until every tribe and every family was on their own land and had harvested, but challah, they were obligated in immediately. And I, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, said to the students, it's the opposite. Even if you say truma, is doraita, challah d'rabbanan. Why? The Tanya, see pasuk number 4. Says before Achemala Aris, when you chayv challah, when you come into the land, which by the way is the proof for the first position. It's as soon as you come into the land you chayv. But there's another piece before Achem means before Achem I might think the minute two or three spies came into the land, that's where it says, when you, in the plural, come, it's only when you all come in. It's not when only some of you come in. Meaning, all, or at least the majority of Am Yisrael has to be in Eretz Yisrael to be chayv and chala, d'oraita, cheskino Ezra, and when Ezra brought them in, or brought them up, of kulu salak, they didn't all make aliyah, as we know, a very small number relatively. Right? So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, even if you hold the truma of Israel, it says, d'oraita chala still will be the Rabbanan, and therefore truma will simply, a chala will simply be a proof to get you up to truma. Okay? Fourth part, the Toshma, Chazaka Lakuhuna, the Siyut Kapayim, Achil Granot, the Eidu. That last one is strange. So, one thing is, Berchot Kalanim again. We're constantly seeing Berchot Kalanim seen as good proof, but he keeps saying it's good proof only to get you up to the next level, but not all the way. And Achil Granot is Truma, and Eidu. Now, Eidu would seem to be two people come and testify and say the guy's a Kohen. So, you say Eidu Chazaka? How can you say Eidu is a Chazaka? Eidu is Eidu, it's better. A lot of hachikamra, this is what it means. The siyut kapayim ki edut. The siyut kapayim is as good as testimony. Ma edut liyuchsin after siyut kapayim liyuchsin. Just like testimony will take you all the way to the top of the ladder, and you'll be a full kohen, so the siyut kapayim should be the same. Again, we see a challenge to the notion that the siyut kapayim is not perfect. So, well, edut haba micho chazaka chazaka. What it meant was that edut of something that itself is a chazaka is as strong as a chazaka. Meaning, if somebody comes and testifies that a particular guy was acting as a Kohen in something that is considered to be a Chazaka, then it's as strong as a Chazaka. That testimony just carries the Chazaka further. And we have a couple of cases. There was a fellow coming before Rabbi Yami in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yami said, I know this guy's a Kohen. And Rabbi Yami said, said to the fellow, how do you know this guy's a Kohen? You have the first aliyah in Shul. So Rabbi Yami said, maybe not. Maybe he got the first aliyah because he was the biggest Talmud Chacham. Take a look at the Mishnah Parakei of the Gittin, and specifically in the Parish of Mishnah, the Rambam there, about the Kohen Bikar Rishon. The Rambam points out, according to the strict reading of the Sugya, it's only if everyone else is equal. But if there's a Gadol, he should get the first aliyah. But generally, Kohanim read first, even in times of the Gemara. So how do you know that this guy is getting the first aliyah proves he was a Kohen? Maybe he's just the most important guy in the shul. The answer is Shakar v'charav Levi. That the fellow who got the next aliyah was a Levi. And take a look at Rashi, that we certainly cannot give the next aliyah to a Levi if the first guy was not a Kohen. Ve'alahu Rabbi Yami l'kuhun alpiv. Rabbi Yami, based on that testimony, moved him up to the kuhuna. In other words, the guy's testimony about this chazaka behavior was good enough. Hahud the answer the comment of Bishuva Levi, and now we have a parallel case where a fellow came before Bishuva Levi. Marley Mosakani Bezeh Levi. I know that this guy is a Levi. Amarley Malayita, you know. Amarley Shakrashi Niradakrasi. He got the second aliyah. Cheskachu Levi, Cheskachu Gadol. Who says maybe he was a very important guy and he got the second aliyah? The answer is Shakralafanav Kohen. Because the guy before him was a Kohen. And once that happens, the next guy has to be a Levi. There's a whole sugi in Gitna, Dafnutet. Now, Meshuva Levi led the VLP. Meshuva Levi did raise this guy and give an official approval that he's a Levi based on that. Now, a variant on this goes as follows. The man came before Shlokish. This is in Feri of the 3rd century. The guy said, testified, I know that guy's a Kohen. I mean, Marayit, I didn't know. Again, he said he had the first aliyah. Have you seen that he gets truma? Ezra Shlokish was not satisfied with that. So Amar Abelazar, who is a older chaver, really, of Shlokish, turned to him and said, what if we don't have truma at all, then there's no more kuhuna? It's the only thing you'll accept is truma? What if there is no truma? So Zinun Habu Yatvi Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So at one point they were all sitting before Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, and Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan is the master. Ataki Hamasa the Kamei. And the same exact story happened. A guy came in, and somebody else testified, this guy's a Kohen. And I know because I saw him read first. Hamar Rish Lakish, we teach Shechilek Alagorim. And Rish Lakish raised the same challenge. Did you know that he gets Truma? Rabbi Yochanan, the master, spoke up and said, "V'nein shan gorim b'tevilat kohuna." He said the same thing that Rabbi Elazar had said, which means Rabbi Elazar, at least the way we're reading it, had taken a piece of Rabbi Yochanan's approach and had appropriated it for himself, hadn't given him credit. So how did Chazal Rabbi Elazar bishut? He saw that Rabbi Elazar was embarrassed. Amar shamat mili the barnafcha v'lomar la mishmei. So Rosh Lakish said, "You heard something from Rabbi Yochanan, and you didn't say it in his name, right?" Now, Rabbi Rabbi Chia. We now go a generation earlier. Rabbi Rabbi Chia. Rabbi, of course, the teacher of Rabbi Chia, but he was the older student. Chad hela ben apiaviv kuna. One of them. We don't know which one, but we'll find out in a minute. Based on the testimony of a father raised the son to be a kohen, chad hela ach apiachiv lovia, and the other one had one brother's testimony for another brother to raise the second brother to be a Levi. Now, this time the Rebbe hela ben apiaviv kuna. It must be Rebbe was the one who had the son raised up to be a kohen based on his father's testimony at the time. How do I know that? Because it's a brayta. If a fellow comes and says, "This is my son, and he's a Kohen," Rabbi says, we can feed him Truma, but we cannot marry him based on the fact that he's a Kohen. He might be a Mamzer who knows who he is. Rabbi Chia challenged him and said, if you're willing to trust this guy so you can feed the fellow Truma, certainly you should trust him to marry him. If you're not going to believe him, don't believe him at all. It'll always be consistent. So how did Rebbe explain his distinction? I'm going to feed him truma. Because after all, his father himself could feed the guy truma. Because he himself, the father himself, is a kohen, and he's the one who's getting the truma. But I can't trust this father as far as marrying the son off, because he's a kohen. It's not up to him. He doesn't have the wherewithal to have this fellow marry another girl that's involved in somebody else. Alright, so it seems pretty clear that Rebbe is the one who accepted the father's testimony about the son and raised out to Kahuna for purposes of being a truma. Now, Umi to Rebbe Allah ben al piaviv the Kahuna. So if Rebbe is the one who did the father to the son for Kohen, so it must be the Rebbe Chia la Achapiachi Levia. Rebbe Chia must have been the one who had one brother's testimony help the other brother be a Levi. So Rebbe Chia Maishna ben Delo, so why would he say a brother can testify for a brother but not a father for a son? The answer is to Karvu Eitz Levi, because the father and the son are relatives. Achami Karvu Eitz Levi. So brothers are also related. So the answer is Mesiach Lefituma. You're right. But the case with the brother was a case where the brother was just mentioning it, not his testimony, but as we saw at the end of Yevamot, he happened just to be telling a story. And we have an example of that. There was a guy who was just telling a story. I remember when I was a little kid. I was riding on my father's shoulders. And they came and took me out of my school. They took off my clothes. And they put me in the mikvah to eat truma la'erev that night. In other words, I remember it's a story I remembered. Rabbi Chia Masayim Bar, Rabbi Chia then added on it. The Chavirad Deminimani. And he said, by the way, this man also said, and I remember that my friends would always stay away from me. But you call me not to Yochanan Ochal Chalot. They used to call me Yochanan the Echala eater. And Allah, Rabbi, Likun Al Piv, and Rabbi, based on that testimony, raised him up to be a kohen. Now, if a man just came and said, I'm a kohen, we wouldn't do that. But he's telling a story, Mesiach Levituma, I remember when I was a kid. That was good enough. Tanya, last brayta, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Amar, Kishem Shatruma Chazaka Lekuna, just like Truma is a Chazaka for Kuna, Kach Masa Rishon Chazaka Lekuna. That's interesting. Masa Rishon, we know, goes to the Levi. Alright, so now we'll see why is giving Masa Rishon a Chazaka that somebody is a Kohen. And the last part of this brayta is strange. Vacholik Bebeitin in a Chazaka, but if somebody gets their Truma in a Beitin, or divides it up in Beitin, that's not a Chazaka. Let's look at all of this. Maaser Rishon the Levi. First of all, Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi. So the answer is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Famous machlok at the Tanya. Truma the coin, Maaser Rishon the Levi. The Rakiva says, Truma goes to the coin, Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Maaser Rishon off the coin. He says, Maaser Rishon can also be given to a coin. So that doesn't prove anything. I'm going to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah off the coin. The coin below Levi Miyamar. Since when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say it's only to a coin and not a Levi? The answer is Ian Bata de Kansino Ezra. No, Ezra fined the Levim to take Maaser Rishon away from them because they did not make Aliyah in numbers and gave it to the Kohanim. So now, if somebody gets Maaser Rishon, that's as good a chazak as getting Truma. So maybe this happened to be a guy who was there and they happened to give it to him. We're talking about a case where we know that this guy's father was a kohen. So it would be the only reason we couldn't have him be have a status as a kohen, because maybe he's a ben grusha. An afakol he called it a ben grusha and a chutzahu. And a rumor indeed went out that he was a halal. And the Dafka gave this kid Maaser Rishon. Now, Levi, the law of Levi, but there's no way that he's a Levi, because we know his father's a Kohen. Michael, remember, Grusha ben Chutzahu? So what are you going to claim? Is it Grusha ben Chutzah? So that can't be, because Lomi by Lamando or Maaser Rishon, also the Zari, remember, we had a machloket about whether Maaser Rishon can be eaten by non-Levim, can give it to their non-Levi friends. So according to the one who says Maaser Rishon is also to a non-Levi, and in this case a non-Kohen, they wouldn't give him the Maaser Rishon if he's not a proper Kohen. Even according to the one who says Maaser Rishon may be eaten by non-Levim, that means you can give them, you know, the Kohen you can give them some. You certainly can't give it to them as part of the tax, which means if you're giving it to them, you're giving it to them because he really is a member of Shevet Levi. And you can't give it to him as a ben grusha, so therefore he must really be a kohen because he can't be a levi because you know his father was a kohen. Now the last statement in the Braita was v'cholik beitim ina chazaka. If beitim avi chazaka, eicha avi chazaka, but if beitim giving it to him isn't good, then where would it be good? So sheish lachikam v'cholik truma benich said avi mechav beitim. What it means is cholik doesn't mean that somebody gives him their truma, but rather if he divides up the truma in his father's estate, with his brothers in Beit Din, talking about an inheritance, in a chazaka. That's not a chazaka. It's not pshita. Obviously, it's not good. No, because you could argue that just like the other brothers are getting it to eat, he's also getting it to eat. That they're getting it to eat. Maybe he's getting it to sell. Maybe he's not a proper kohen. So the fact that he's dividing it up with his brothers in Beit Din doesn't prove that he is also a kohen. And therefore, that solves the end of the Braita. We have to show in the next podcast, we will finish up this Mishnah and get the solution to why Rabbi Yehuda and the different points within Rabbi Elazar and Gamliel in the Mishnah about how the last Tana is different from the first Tana, etc. And then we will also do the next Mishnah, Isha Shemech Pesha, all the way until the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin. Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.